my take at thetakeaway.org. So joining us now is Randy Cohen, who's the author of the Ethicist column in the New York Times Magazine and a new blog on the New York Times website called The Moral of the Story. Randy, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John.
My first question to you, and you know, forgive me for digressing, is it ethical for someone who lives in New York to not drag himself down to the studio to be a guest on The Takeaway?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is.
Anytime it involves the words drag themselves down, you can be pretty sure the answer is you're not obliged.
Well, the reason we're talking to you, Randy, is because one of the things I like about your column is that it takes a story from the headlines and really sort of probes into a moral dimension, which actually has the possibility of revealing more about the news than we might have gotten just looking at the story straight. The Bernard Madoff story, right?
Yes.
Now, of course, Bernard Madoff is awaiting sentencing for the so-called $65 billion Ponzi scheme, which bilked all kinds of investors out of money. There was no investment fund that Bernard Madoff had, even though he was very, very wealthy, correct?
Yes.
Now, all along with him, faithfully, was his wife, Ruth Madoff, correct?
That's right.
So the question is, if you're an investor who lost money in the Madoff fortune, do you have any claim against Ruth Madoff, civilly or criminally, to get your money back? Because she must have known, right?
Well, first of all, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't purport to give legal advice. But as I understand it, if what she has is ill-gotten gains, then yes, you have a claim on it. If it's money she's made in some other way, then you don't. But did she know? We don't know if she knew. That is something a court will determine. But from my perspective, the ethical question is, should she have known? And can you ask that of people? Can you say, well, you should have known? Is that a legitimate moral question?
Well, of course, in all the like mob movies from the 1930s, you know, there's this principle of the wife can't testify against the husband, that there's no, the state can't compel a wife to testify against a spouse. But I guess, does that mean that in our jurisprudence, there is a notion that it is perfectly ethical to keep secrets within a marriage vow?
Well, that assumption of the law is the opposite. The assumption of the law is that spouses disclose themselves to one another. They reveal themselves to one another. And the bonds of marriage are something we respect so much that we would not force one spouse to testify against another. But that's also a question about what you should do with that knowledge. Once you know something, your spouse has done something very, very wicked, what must you do? But the first question for me is, must you know? When you live intimately with someone like this, and more important in the Ruth Madoff case, when you are profiting and enormously, you know, once you're buying your third house, the one in Palm Beach, or your fourth house, the one in Antibes, should you ask yourself at some point, where is this money coming from that rains down upon me?
All right, so ask me.
Where is this money coming from that rains down upon you?
Honey, we're just having a great year.
Okay, that's fine. And I notice you seem to be having a great year every year.
I've had a lot of great years. How hard it is?
If your spouse is determined to fool you, everyone can be fooled, but you can't persist in willful ignorance. You have to at least attempt to know. And near as I can tell, Ruth Madoff is not a schnook.
But does she have to be a schnook? I mean, is she required morally for her to take out a spreadsheet and kind of reverse engineer the trends?
But nor is it allowable for her to simply close her eyes to what seems obvious to her, to go through life never wondering, oh, this money we're enjoying, Miss Scarlett. You know, I've noticed our cotton seems to be picked by slaves. Did you ever notice that? I mean, she's an adult. She's not a 4-year-old.
Well, slavery was legal. Slavery was legal in Georgia.
I don't write the legalist. I write the moralist. Slavery may have been legal for much of our history, but it was never moral.
All I'm saying, I'm not certainly saying that it was moral, but what I am saying is if the SEC couldn't figure out what was going on with Madoff, why would you expect
the level of knowledge she's required to attempt to have is not sufficient to bring a case in a court. Just to have some sense of where her enormous wealth that she's been enjoying for 50 years is coming from. Also, she is not the unsophisticated person you present her to be. She actually worked at her husband's company for a while. She steered clients to her husband. With that comes some obligations to have some understanding of how this all works.
Even if you give, say, $20 million to some charity?
that doesn't get you off the hook for how you acquired the $20 million.
You sure?
Morally? Absolutely not. That if I go and come over to your house and steal your TV, you know, my giving $10 to a charity when I sell it doesn't get me off the hook for robbing you. You have to judge each of those actions on their merit.
But isn't it karmic? Okay, if you give $20 million to some charity, all right, that makes up for the fact that, okay, there's been some pain here for some investors who lost money.
Are you saying that this is a judgment God has to decide in the fullness of things?
We're talking to the right guy here.
Not to me. Have your good deeds outweighed your bad deeds? That's a different way to look at morality than I do. To me, the question is, each deed must be judged on its own merits, and that if it's wrong to kill a guy, it's wrong to kill a guy, even if you use your hefty killer's fee to help some puppies later on.
All right. Well, Randy, thanks so much. This is a great conversation. Randy Cohen is the author of the Ethicist column in the New York Times Magazine and a new blog on the Times website called The Moral of the Story, focusing on Ruth Madoff. Is there a moral issue with her observations of how Bernie was making all of his money? Thanks, Randy.
Nice to talk to you.
Femi Okay has the headlines now.
Thanks, John. 29 minutes past the hour.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.